The National Farmers Federation is concerned at the escalating number of agricultural trade disputes between Australia and China, and it's called on both governments to work together in a respectful manner to resolve them. Yesterday, China imposed an import ban on four Australian red meat abattoirs. That came just a day or so after it flagged plans to introduce an 80% tariff hit on Australian barley exports. Dairy and wine exporters fear they could be next. There is speculation that the barriers have been imposed in retaliation to Australia's demands for an independent investigation into the COVID-19 outbreak, although Finance Minister Matthias Cormann told us earlier he dismissed those concerns.
These are things that you wouldn't even pick up on if we weren't in this current climate. I mean,
Really? Four meat processes have been closed?
Well, anti-dumping inquiries, like in relation to barley, I mean, these are things under the World Trade Organization rules that happen between countries all the time.
That's Finance Minister Matthias Cormann. Well, Dr. Wei Huan Zhou is a senior lecturer in law at the University of New South Wales and an expert on international trade law. In fact, he's written a book on China's 2001 entry into the WTO. Wei Huan Zhou, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hi, Fran.
We just heard the finance minister there say there's really nothing to see here where it comes to this issue, and the trade minister's been making similar noises. Are they right, or do you think this is a start of a trade war, as some are saying?
I wouldn't say it's a trade war, but essentially I think that people are right to connect these events to Australia's call for the independent investigation into COVID-19. And the barley tariff was a result of the anti-dumping investigation, and the trade minister correctly identified. So at the time, there was no connection with COVID-19, because it started in November 18. Mm-hmm. But last week, the China's Ministry of Commerce issued a decision before the final decision on 19th, saying that the tariff will be as high as 73.6%. That's anti-dumping duty. And that was an increase from what was originally requested by the Chinese industries. So
okay.
One could make a connection to that.
So just to interrupt you there for a moment, so essentially you're saying Matthias Cormann was right earlier when he said, well, these actions were already on the books and they were due to come to a head now. You're saying that is true, but we might read something into the fact that the barley tariff increase jumped from something around 50% to 80%, and that could be a shot over the bow, sort of.
I think so.
Okay. There is some speculation that China's actions are actually related to Australia imposing hefty duties on Chinese steel, aluminium and chemicals for decades. I mean, we have seen tit-for-tat actions before like that. How much is that coming into play here, or is the timing doesn't point to that?
Yeah, so when the barley investigation started in 18, I wrote a piece for The Conversation basically to say that point. I mean, I think that was right at the time. And particularly, China was very unhappy with Australia's treatment of China as having a particular market situation and plenty like non-market economy in anti-dumping investigations. So China has been very angry about that for a long time. And then that was used as the first test case against Australia. And frankly speaking, anti-dumping, I think correctly identified by the trade minister, that anti-dumping has been frequently used by all WTO members, not only China, not only Australia, for many purposes, including retaliation. So at the time, I think China used it not to protect the domestic barley industry, but instead to kind of get back to Australia and to say that if you continue to investigate us in such a manner, then here we go. There is our investigation against you. And frankly, that was the first anti-dumping investigation against Australia initiated by China.
Okay, well, let's look at the suggestion that if there is a link between these tariff actions or threats from China and the Australian government's call for an independent investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, how serious might this get? How far might this go? Because we read this morning that our dairy exporters, our wine exporters, they've got significant exports to China, are also concerned. Do you think this, if it is a retaliatory action, is likely to spread?
I think it's very, very hard to tell. But now you can see that the Chinese government seems to be escalating the retaliation with the ban on the four beef processors. And it's actually based on an old measure that China undertook in 2017 concerning the labeling of six beef exporters from Australia. So they're actually using the kind of something that they have done in the past for this purpose now. And frankly, I don't really know whether the Chinese government will continue to escalate retaliation. But it could be one of the results if Australia continues to do something that was perceived by Chinese government as biased against China.
Okay. Well, the Chinese ambassador to Australia did pretty much warn us of this. It said Australia would suffer economically. And now we've got these comments that we just heard earlier from the Global Times. It says the latest meat import suspension and the possible imposition of major tariffs on Australia's barley exports don't necessarily represent China's economic punishment for Australia, though they may serve as a wake-up call for Australia to reflect on its economic links with China. What do you make of that comment coming from the Global Times in particular? What does that tell us?
Yeah, I think one aspect is that they wouldn't actually say this is a retaliation in public, right? Mm-hmm. But they have said what they can see very explicitly to say that Australia, you need to reconsider your position in current affairs and in future affairs in relation to China. They didn't say political affairs; they say economic affairs. But you know, we all know what that means, because this kind of conflict between Australia and China now is not only because of the COVID-19 investigation. It has been a series of events in the past, including the Huawei ban last year, including the COVID-19 travel ban against China at the very beginning. There has been a series of events that China was very unsatisfactory about Australia's position. Mm-hmm. So I think that sends a very strong signal that if Australia continues to take position against China in future affairs, then there will be more.
Okay, there will be more. Well, these trade disputes, which have been described by some, these measures taken by China, as you know, around technical disputes and around labelling, they're made within the terms of the WTO. China joined the WTO in 2001. Donald Trump has said China should not have been admitted to an organisation which promotes free trade, and he's got a whole list of reasons why. Is China, by using the terms of the WTO, is it proving the benefits of it being in the World Trade Organization, or is it misusing its weight by things like retaliatory measures within the World Trade Organization rules? In other words, has China's entry to the World Trade body been a positive or a negative, would you say, for world trade?
I think there are many aspects into it. First of all, I think that all we can agree is that China has liberalized its market after the accession to the WTO significantly. So I think that's very, very positive. Now, China has problems with compliance with its obligations under the WTO, as the US claims. But without a WTO dispute, without a decision from the WTO tribunals, it can't unilaterally label someone as a violator of the WTO rules. And second point is that China has complied in disputes that China lost at the WTO in almost every dispute. So the records of China's compliance with the WTO rulings is actually more favorable than the US and the EU. And the third point is that I wouldn't say it's abuse of the WTO rules. Every WTO member could use the WTO rules in different ways. Mm-hmm. The US and the EU have been using the anti-dumping rules to target China. You know, one of the latest highest dumping tariff imposed by the US against China was beyond 1,000%. So there has been a lot of abuses. But coming back to the labeling issue, there has been two agreements under the WTO that could be relevant. One, it's called the Agreement on Technical Barriers to Trade. One, mm-hmm. it's called the Sanitary and the Phytosanitary Agreement. Both of them allow WTO members, including China, to adopt the technical regulation standards and sanitary and phytosanitary measures. And here, I mean, I haven't seen the detail in China's investigation, but they mentioned labeling requirements and safety certificates. So they could actually cover both agreements. So
okay.
That means that China can adopt these measures. But, you know, there could always be a challenge about whether these measures have been adopted in a WTO consistent manner. I mean, China obviously used the health reasons for these measures. But if you put it objectively, I mean, Australia has been doing something about apples imported from New Zealand on health reasons. So, I mean, you couldn't just at this point in time say that China has been violating the WTO rules. I'm not saying China is not doing something politically sensitive, targeting Australia. But, you know, I wouldn't, from the WTO rules perspective, from the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement perspective, I don't think that's a violation per se.
Okay. Wei Han Zuo, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Wei Han Zuo is a senior lecturer in law at the University of New South Wales and an expert on international trade law. He wrote the book on China and the WTO. It's 12 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.